Welcome to the Emotional Mastery Podcast. I'm your host, Rochelle. I'm a holistic human design health coach, and this podcast is here to support you in your journey to understanding and regulating your emotions, to help you remember who you are, to ground into your knowing, and to support you in all things spiritual, emotional, and health, mind, body, and soul. I bring some amazing guests to share their story with you, and my goal is to have conversations that are supportive of wherever you find yourself in your journey. I thank you so much for being here. This podcast started as a space to just share my voice, and over the years, it has become so much more. Thank you so much for being here, and thank you for your support. Now, enjoy the show. Welcome back to another episode of the Emotional Mastery Podcast. Today, I'm going to sort of just riff on whatever is coming up. I feel like I have so much to say. It's just one of those times where like the last week has felt like a lifetime. Like there's just been so much happening, so much reflections, so much astrology, and yeah, so we're just gonna start and I'm just gonna talk. And I have a few definite points that I wanna hit on for sure. But I went to a concert last night. I took my daughter to a Corey Taylor concert. If you don't know who that is, he is the lead singer of Slipknot and Stone Sour. And my daughter is like really into like metal music. It's just like a phase, which I think we all go through like at some point. I know I did when I was younger. And I went to a Slipknot concert when I was in college and I was very much drinking and all of the things. And I remember being like in the mosh pit and having so much fun with it. And yesterday was just like, it kind of made me feel my age. And I always try and avoid being like, I'm so old or anything like that. Or because like, I think age is just a number. It's just, you are as old as you feel. And so I definitely don't feel my age half the time. Like I still feel like I'm in my 20s, but that concert made me feel definitely 37. But it was really interesting because it's just this dynamic. I think when you begin to, like, I'm air quoting, like, wake up and begin to see things differently, like the entertainment industry. And it was actually really interesting. Somebody this weekend was showing me something about the entertainment industry and just conspiracy theories and just all sorts of things that I just believe, like, so much of that stuff because there's just so much hidden from us as a collective, right? And if you've ever watched a movie or you watch an interview or you watch the news, you have like a feeling, right? And our body is always, always communicating with us. And so whenever you have like these underlying feelings, trust them, right? Like so often we don't, but they're really like your body is really, truly trying to tell you something. So sort of like little tangent there. But yeah, so we went and like I said, when I was younger, I was drinking and just very much not in myself. I was not in my body. I was asleep, right? I was trying to numb because I've always been a huge feeler and feeling is my superpower. It's my psychic gift. Like I know that now, but when I was younger, I just like felt everything and I like hated it, right? I was like, just make it stop. But so we went yesterday and I just almost felt like an assault on my senses between the how loud the music was, the smells that were there, you know, between like the vaping and things like that, which is fine. But like when you have it all in like one room, it's just a lot. And then the lighting, I felt like I couldn't see. There was just, the light was so bright. It was just like this whole thing. And I'm like sitting there watching it. And it was just like taking the masses and like giving your message out, but in like this really weird way, right? Where the thing that I had watched this weekend was talking about how we like idolize celebrities, right? We put them up on a stage, literally a stage, and we make them like a god almost. And so I'm like watching this with that in the back of my mind. And I was just like doing some reflection on it today and like last night too. And I was like, Rochelle, just like calm down. It's not that serious, but I'm me. And I have Saturn in my fifth house. So it's always making the fun, playful, creative things super serious. That's just like who I am. And that's my process. And so I've sort of like completely surrendered to that. I also have Venus in Gemini, so I am like, I do have a craving for the playfulness. So I have to like make light of it in some way. It's also opposite. It's in the 11th house. And then that's in the fifth house. So, but I was just like, it was just so interesting to witness. And I feel like a lot of what I've been going through now is really like, really in this witness mode, right? Whether it's my shadows, my emotions, witnessing other people, just like really watching these things as they manifest, as they come out. So it was just really interesting to be in that experience. And be in a space where there's so much energy. Like I hear people talk about like a love of going to concerts, and you know, there's like a state fair, Texas State Fair, that's happening next week, and people at work were like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to go. And although I love those things, I love my environment in human design is markets, external markets. And so I love being around people, but I have to be very particular about the energy, the energetics of the place that I'm entering into. So like places like malls or state fairs and concerts, you know, that maybe are a little bit lower vibration. I pick up on the frequency a lot, the energy. And so I love to be in a city because like living in cities, when I was younger, I used to live in cities and I loved it because I could be around the energy, but I can be in my own space and in my own home, right? Whereas like if I'm intentionally going out to like the state fair or concert, like I just soak that up so much that I really need to get better about tending to my energy. I need to get better about protecting my energy. And I went to Austin overnight this past weekend, and Rachel White, who will be on the podcast, I believe it will be airing in November, if I'm not mistaken on the timing. We had an amazing conversation. She hosts the Skeptical Shaman podcast, but she had invited me because she's in Austin. So she had invited me down to her event. She was having an Equinox event. And I was like, why not? My parents agreed to watch the kids. So I took off for the evening and went to her event just for like a couple hours. But she does a bunch of stuff. She does readings, but she makes flower remedies. And I believe I talked about it maybe last podcast episode, the one before that, but I've been doing Alexa Smart flower remedies. And so I just went and bought a whole bunch from her. She has so many different, and they're just like really playful, fun names, but they're really potent. They're really powerful. And so one of the ones that I got was called Self-Defense, and it is about protecting your energy. Another one I got was called Cat's Meow, and has catnip, which it helps introverts become more extroverted. And so I've sort of been playing with those while also continuing with the Alexa Smart Flower Remedy that I already am in. But I did the Self-Defense, which is protecting your energy from just energetic leaks, from narcissists, from all the things. So I did it today at work. Before work, and then I did after work. I took a few drops and I felt, and again, it also could have been the intention, right? I 100% believe in flower remedies, and she's going to get into that in our episode. So I'm not going to like go too much into the details here, but it's like an ancient, like we've been using these forever, right? Before medicine, for, you know, and so like going back to that, I think is really powerful. And I think everything is energy, right? Everything is energy. Plants hold energy. And so when we're taking the essence, the flower essence, right, and we're ingesting them for very specific purposes with very specific intentions, I do believe that's very, very powerful. And so having the intention of protecting my energy as I was taking this Self-Defense flower remedy today just felt really empowering. And it felt really good to navigate my day knowing that I was holding on to that and that I had that within, because it's something I know I need to be a little bit more aware about, because I, again, with feeling cognition, emotionally defined, just all the things, being an empath, of course, like it's so easy to just give it away and have so many leaks and just allow so much energy, like taking it in. I always, always, always think about my ex-husband. He would come home and I would hear the garage door open, and the minute he walked in the door, it was just like all of the air was sucked out of me. Like I could just tap into it, right? And so when I first learned human design, when I learned about the undefined solar plexus, I was like, that has to be me, but I'm very much emotionally defined. I very much resonate with that. And then once I understood what feeling cognition was, I was like, oh, that's what that is, right? That's what that is. So it's so helpful to have something like that to protect your energy. And even just like I have some sprays that I would put in the morning. And I think just setting the intention, like visualizing a bubble around your energy, or if you visualize a bucket with a bunch of holes, right? Like plugging them up, like something to set the intention to protect yourself before you navigate through your day is really helpful. I will also leave the link for Rachel's flower remedies if you're interested. I think she's having a sale right now. I know she was at the event, but I'm pretty sure she's also having a sale on her website. So go check it out. I got like 5 of them, and I got a sacred spray to like invoke ancestors, just like really cool stuff. So, and I got her tarot deck, and I'm telling you, so her podcast again is called The Skeptical Shaman. Like she does not mess around with darkness, like in the way that I love her energy around that sort of stuff where we are all human and we are attracted to it, right? And I think that's the point. Like, there's a duality in all of us. And as a shaman, shamans are attracted to that side of life, right? And like she had said one point, like she likes the poison, right? Like, there's a part of her that is attracted to that. And so I, like, the very first time I pulled cards from her deck, like here at home for myself, was so on point, and it was not like sugarcoating. It literally was like almost rough, where I was like, damn, like, let's calm down. But it was just like on point. It did not sugarcoat shit. Like, it was really, really cool. So I'll leave her link down below. And of course, like, her episode will be out in a few weeks. But that was this weekend. But what I really wanted to come on here and talk about was, it has been a year. Actually, I think tomorrow, September 27th last year, was the last day I had alcohol of the year. So I'll tell my story and then I'll get back to it. But I just wanted to sort of recap, I guess, or reflect on everything I've learned in the last year, because my relationship with alcohol has completely changed. So you probably heard in one of the last episodes, I did have a glass of wine. And then in Austin, I did have wine as well. And, you know, I grew up, and I think because of all of the emotional stuff, all the empath stuff, all the psychic things, like, when you hear of people who are psychics, at least for myself, I always would be like, I didn't see ghosts. I didn't hear spirits. Like, spirits didn't come and talk to me in the middle of the night. They didn't wake me up. Nothing was like thrown around my house, right? So I was like, I guess I just always was very disconnected with my body. And so I never understood. I never was like, never had those stories. Like, every time I've interviewed a psychic on the podcast, it generally is something around, you know, when I was five, I talked to my grandma who had died, or there's just some sort of visual auditory experience of the psychic. And so I think I never thought that I had any of that. But when I look back, when I finally understood that my psychic skills came from feeling, I have to be very connected to my body in order to feel that. And so Lauren Aletta, I've done a lot of practices with her. I've done a lot of work on developing my intuition, my psychic skills. And if you've ever had a session with her, and if not, I highly recommend it. But if you've ever had a session with her, she keeps her eyes open, and it's very much like she sort of like glosses over, and you can tell like she's just connecting with something. And that's the way that she does it, right? And I've tried so hard to explore that and just see what it's like, so that in my waking day, like, I can sort of like connect to that energy and tap into that. But for me, the minute I close my eyes, everything turns on. And so when I look back at like my childhood, I was so incredibly feeling. Like, I felt everything, but we're not taught what to do with those feelings, right? We're not taught. And from a human design perspective, I have an emotional authority. My solar plexus, my emotions are defined. I ride a wave of emotions. They're up, they're down. There's no rhyme or reason to them. It just is what it is. And my entire family is undefined emotionally. So that was foreign to them. They didn't really understand that. So I was conditioned by the undefined solar plexus. And when your psychic skills, your intuitive abilities come from that deep connection with your emotions, and the people around you are not in tune or aware of that, not to say that they don't have any sort of intuitive skills, like, everybody does, but it takes awareness. It's like a practice, right? Like meditation, you're not going to meditate twice and just be like, oh my gosh, I'm awakened, right? It's a practice. And that's part of meditation, is the practice, showing up and do, it's like working out. You show up and you do it even when you don't want to, especially when you don't want to, right? And it's in that practice that you will really begin to tune in and cultivate those skills and talents. And so not having anybody to model what actually that was, right? Like, I didn't have any mentors or anybody that really talked about what it was to be feeling like that, what that meant, what that connection meant, how to cultivate that, how to increase my skills, how to discern what the fuck my body was actually telling me. I had no idea. And so I've been drinking since I was 12. I started having like a glass of wine with like maybe holidays, or like, I don't know. I remember like on Christmas, I think the very first time I had a glass of wine, we would travel all over, and we lived overseas, and in Europe, 16 was the legal age to be having beer and wine. And so we just started a little bit earlier. And because all my friends were drinking by like 12, 13, 14. And, you know, when I look at my daughter, I'm like, damn, that's so young. Like, so young. But of course, a different time, different lifetime and all those things. So I just, when I first started drinking, I realized how it would numb that feeling in me, right? It would quiet all of the emotional noise, the emotional chaos. And so immediately I was like, whoa, like I need to not feel so much. Like I need to not be so serious. And again, I have Saturn in the fifth house. There's no, I'm just like, I am playful and I am funny. I think I'm funny. I'm funny. I'm creative and all these things. And also there's a very, very serious side to me that can overtake a lot, especially in relationships. I need somebody who is playful. I need somebody who is light and doesn't take shit seriously, because if we have two people, like my ex was so intense and so serious about everything, there's no room for fun. And I cannot do that because I am intense and serious enough on my own that I need somebody to balance that out and bring the lightness and the playfulness to it. But I say all that because my journey with alcohol began very young, because I did not understand what to do with everything I was feeling. It consumed me. It overtook me. I felt depressed. I felt crazy because, of course, also a lot of the relationships I chose to bring into my life because I didn't feel worthy and because I didn't believe in myself, I didn't understand what was happening. But a lot of those relationships gaslit me and told me I was crazy and why would you feel that way, or how could you feel that way, or you're feeling, what you're feeling is wrong. And so not only did I feel so much, I also innately just thought I was wrong. I, as I am, was wrong. And I've talked about that before, that like toxic shame piece that is so hard and we carry that with us everywhere. And like the fear of just being wrong for just being. I felt that for so much of my life. And so, yeah, I used alcohol and I used drugs in college and I used all of those things to numb who I actually was, to dull my emotions so that I could function and feel like I was normal and that I could fit in and that I could show up and party, when really what I wanted to do was just like be at home reading a spiritual book or learning astrology or something like that, right? Like those were always the conversations that I was really attracted to. And I interviewed Tara Swan on here twice, actually, but the very first episode, I believe it was, I'll link that in the show notes, but I remember we were talking about this, you know, how she went through all of her drinking as well. And of course, everything serves a purpose in life. Everything is for a reason in life. And I truly believe, you know, a lot of times when we drink, it's to numb, you know, like I'm saying, like I felt so much that alcohol dulled that down, because when I walk around, like I have very intense conversations with people. I go there. I go deep and I go fast, and it's really hard for me to like talk about the weather, and I'm just like, ah, then my mind is like, I don't even know what to say to you right now. But, you know, when you are drinking, it's like, it's easier for you to say things that are on your mind. It's easier to show up, and also because it also numbs the rest of it. It's like a fake connection that you have with somebody, right? It's like a false intimacy almost, like sex is false intimacy. Drinking creates false connection. Because we think we're like having this really deep, intense, you know, conversation, and we may be, but it's like for the moment, it's just for the night. Because a lot of times when you meet up with that person the next day, either you're going to wake up and be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I said that. I would not normally say that, or I would not normally do that thing. And then also a lot of times when you like see that person the next day, you're like, you feel so deeply connected with them because of this experience, then they ignore you and because they're probably going through the same thing. So it's just like a whole thing. So yeah, I just used it a lot. And then of course, like over time, it just became like a habit, because we value alcohol in this culture, in our society, in the world, right? Not just here, it's a lot of places. And so then it became, you know, with dinner or just to take the edge off at night or to help sleep and like all these reasons that we use alcohol. And I had given up alcohol for like 3 months. I think it was in 2021. I don't think it was 2020. I think it was 2021. And it was fine. It was good. I noticed a lot of people stopped talking to me, because I wasn't drinking. And so then this year, the more I drank, the more I drank, the more my body I was connecting to it, it was telling me this is not for me. Like, I did not want to feel this way anymore. It was making me anxious and all the things. So finally, September 27th, 2022, I was like, fuck it, I'm done. This is it. I actually had gotten drunk and texted somebody I was trying so hard to get over. And I was like so mad at them. I'm like, why do you still talk to me? Why do you still show up? All these things. Out of like nowhere, I just like blew up on them. And I woke up the next morning and I was just like, something has to change. I'm tired of my emotions. I'm tired of feeling like shit. I'm tired of like feeling this way in my body. I'm tired of the anxiety. I'm tired of not being productive. I'm tired of my kids just like watching me drink all the time and it just be such a normal thing in our house, because I do believe like our kids learn more from watching us, what we do, than what we say. So if I'm telling them don't drink and I'm out there getting drunk all the time, of course they're going to drink, because what they're being modeled is more important than what I'm saying. It's like that do as I say and not as I do. But of course, we're going to do what you do, right? And so, yeah, September 27th, I woke up the next day after I had sent that text and had that like text fight or whatever it was, just like crying. And I was like, I'm done. And so my initial goal was Sober October. That's what I was going to do. Sober October. And I made it through Sober October. I detached from everything. I didn't go out with anybody. I didn't like nothing. I did nothing but go to work and come home and be a mom. And so then I was like, okay, I got through October. And then I was like, let me just make it through another month. At that point, I think it was like a month by month thing. And then I was like, well, am I going to drink during the holidays or should I have a glass of wine? And I was like, all right, let me just get through the holidays. Meantime, there's so much discomfort. I had stopped dating completely. I was like, there's no way I can show up dating completely sober. Like, I felt like I was like my anxiety was going to be through the roof. And I can't remember. I think I did have a date around Christmas, or it might have been January. And I was nervous and it was awkward. But afterwards, I was like, whoa, like that was wild. I felt so empowered because I was just like me. I was in my own system. I didn't have this alcohol like confusing what I actually wanted, because in the past when I was drinking, you know, you would meet somebody who you may not even connect with, but then you're drinking and then you sleep with them and then you're confused because then you have this other connection that's like muddling what the actual connection was. It was like so a whole thing. But I felt empowered because I went on this date, I was completely sober. We went bowling and it was fun and nice, but I also knew like I didn't have that connection I was searching for. And the fact that I was not drinking, I was actually able to tune into that and be like, huh, my body's not like rejecting this person, but I'm not excited either. And the way that I know when something is for me or not. And so anyway, so I got through the holidays and then I don't remember. I had a few more dates like scattered in between there. I wasn't like actively like looking or dating or anything like that. But then I started like hanging out with people and I remember like getting mad because people would like do things after work and never invite me. And I remember like I freaked out on one of my coworkers once. I was like, I'm still a human. I still want to go out and hang out, like invite me out. And so then I just started being more social and going to more bars. And this summer, I had more opportunities to go out and I went to bars and things like that when my kids were out of town. And it was slightly uncomfortable, but it was fine. Like I was able to show up as myself. So all of that to say, like, this year has been incredibly powerful in just like my connection with myself, attuning to my own body, attuning to my system, and being able to actually discern. And so within this year, I've done Manifestation Babe Academy. I did an intuitive immersion with Lauren Aletta. I feel like I've done so much more than that. The Healy programs, Healy groups, Healy mentorship programs. I mean, just like so much. And then with Healy, you know, not drinking, being able to raise my frequency, my vibration, my consciousness, and like all of these things. And so I had a glass of wine and it was fine, right? Like it was fine. And that was like 2 weeks ago, I think. And then in Austin, I had a glass of wine with dinner. And then we went out to a bar on 6th Street afterwards, and I was like, all right, I'll have a whiskey and we'll see how I feel. I had like two sips of it and immediately like my body reacted and I was like, oh no, it's because now I'm so in tune with my body. I could discern like, no, my body does not want me to have this. And so I gave the drink away and I didn't feel like any like need to find something else to drink. Like the bar scene still feels a little bit weird, but I think that is probably just the way I feel in bars, regardless of where I'm drinking or not. Maybe I'm just like, that's just not my scene anymore. And that's totally fine. But yeah, I noticed my relationship with alcohol like completely shift. Like I don't crave it. I don't feel like I need it to show up as myself. And I think the fact that I was constantly able to show up as myself sober in my authenticity has truly showed me like, I don't need anything to show up. I don't need anything. And when I do, and the reason why I even had that glass of wine was not because I wanted to numb, was not because I was going to be social. I literally went to dinner by myself. It was not for any of those reasons other than the fact that something in me was like, you know what? I just like, I think it would be a compliment to that experience. Like, I think it would just feel good. And I'm a 6'3", so I'm always trial and error. And I always want to figure things out. So I was like, let me just see how I'm going to feel. Because there was a part of me that was afraid, like if I opened that door, I wasn't going to be able to close it again, right? And so, of course, logic says, well, then don't open the door. If that's like a legitimate fear, don't open the door. But me being me, I was like, no, I have to open the door. I have to see. I've done it before. I know I can do it again, right? Like I've lived a year without it and I know I can do it again. Because even when I was pregnant with my kids, like by the end of the pregnancy, I think 8 months, like I had a glass of wine here and there, like not like a daily thing by any means, like maybe 2 glasses of wine, like 2 3-ounce glasses of wine or whatever. So it's just always been a thing. And I quit smoking at 28. I smoked cigarettes for like 13 years. So I quit smoking and I quit drinking alcohol. So I'm like, I know I could do this. I know if I open that door again, I know if it becomes a problem again, I know I can quit again because I've done it before and I know that I don't need it. I'm so empowered within my own system right now that I truly trust myself. And yeah, I just feel like my relationship has completely shifted, has done like completely. I don't feel like it controls me because it used to like control my mind, right? And I think over the last year, being able to be more empowered, I'm more able to control my mind and my thoughts, and maybe not control it is the right word, but being able to witness it rather than believe it, right? So even if something becomes like a repetitive, obsessive thing, I can sort of like detach a little bit from it and be like, well, that's really interesting. Like, why? Why is that on loop? What subconscious belief is behind that? Do I feel like I'm unworthy? Do I feel like I just can't do something? Like, what is it? And then let's pull that through a DI or a meditation or something, right? So it's like, I think I just really showed myself like the tools that I have in my abilities and my trust in myself and my love of myself, which is huge. And yeah, it's just been really interesting, especially, you know, the last like couple months I've talked about it have just been really, really low. And it's really interesting because I feel like I was thinking about it this morning. You know, we always like have the dream. We have the thing that we want, whether it's relationships, like I want to be partnered with somebody or I want the career or I want whatever. And when we get those things, it's not the thing that's going to make us feel fulfilled, right? I've talked about it here, like I've been dating somebody for a couple months now, and that situation is like great. Like I feel like it's going really well. And yet I feel like in other areas of my life, I've been so low, but it balances out. And it's not like the attainment of that thing makes everything better because other areas are still like stuck and stiff, right? And all the things. And so it's the feeling. That's why everybody always says, right? And I've talked about it like last week, I think it was like, what is the feeling that you want, right? What is the feeling you want to embody? What is the feeling you want to call in? Because that's what we need to be chasing. That's what we need to be giving ourselves. And there was like a post on Instagram today about the masculine and the feminine. And I'm tying this into like how we want to feel. And I'm tying it into like relationships, how we show up in relationships as an example. But it's like, how do you, it was talking about the woman that has the I'm air quoting like good guy that treats her like royalty and this and that. Like, it's not because she's anything exceptional that you're not, right? It's because she values herself. She leans into her feminine. And we're just talking about the feminine archetype of a woman, because a woman can be more masculine and that's fine. She needs to likely call in a man who is a little bit more on the feminine side so that it has that balance. But the point being is that when we value ourselves, when we know our self-worth, when we love ourselves, I've had a lot of shadows around the feminine in my life. I have really embodied more the masculine. I used to, like, when I would dress up or put makeup on, I just felt really like foreign in my own body. I never felt feminine. And again, over the last year, I've just been leaning more into that energy and that fluidity and just being like, you know, even with the person that I'm dating, like the situation, I've noticed myself, and it allows me to reflect on past relationships where I've tried to control the masculine, where I've been like, well, you do this or you do that. And I played it off as like a playful way, right? But there's just was like, there's been a couple situations where I could have said something to not criticize, but to like guide the masculine. But then there was this little voice in me where it was like, Rochelle, just let him be him. Let the masculine do what the masculine's going to do. And if I can sit here and just be in my feminine and be receptive and be open and have trust, that allows that masculine energy to be more embodied in itself, right? And so it's just been like a lot of really interesting lessons lately. And of course, through that, there's been a lot of shadows that have been coming up. And I'm sick now. So I feel like my body's purging something. It's releasing something. And I know that this is all cyclical. I know that this is all an upgrade because I'm choosing for it to be. And just the things that are coming into my life, the way that I'm feeling, I know that the things that I want and I desire and I'm calling in are mine. And also, I feel oddly detached from them, where it's like Catherine Zakina will say, I desire this, it's interesting, but I'm okay either way, right? And I think that's the energy that you really have to have with manifestation, is like, I want the thing, I like it, but I also know I'm fine, right? And I think that's the energy, and I'm just using the example of like the person I'm dating because I feel like I've been in such toxic relationships in my past, that this, even though it's just been like a couple months, has been such a huge lesson for me in the way that I'm showing up and the way I want to show up. And it's been a huge expander to show me that like not everybody's, like I'm air quoting bad, not everybody wants to gaslight and manipulate. And some people like actually are okay with communication and things like that. But I mean, like using that as an example, because I'm noticing how I'm showing up, and I'm showing up with the energy of, yes, I like it. I would like it to move somewhere. And also, I'm fine if it doesn't. And that's really interesting, because normally when I have feelings for somebody, it is so chaotic. I am like dog paddling. I'm trying to get their attention. And it's not to say those shadows haven't come up, because I did notice that this weekend where there was like a couple moments where I wanted them to almost like guide me in how I should show up and how I should behave. And I felt like a little bit like floundering when they weren't. And then I came back to myself and I was like, that's your wounding, that's your trauma, that's your inner child that is just like, just tell me what to do so that you like me. And I was able to pull myself back and be like, I can just be me. Like, I don't need to be anything other than who I am. And if that's not what's wanted in this situation, then I at least know now what's possible. And I know that there's somebody out there that will, right? Obviously, that like none of that happened, but that was just like my thought process where that wounding came up and that like scrambling, and it was so fast and it was so fast and it was so over, and I could just like relax and be like, I'm just me. I'm just going to do and say what I want to do and let that land in the way that it lands, because I want this. I desire this. It's interesting. It's fun. And also, I'm okay either way. And that is wild to me, because I am a fearful of wind. I come from a lot of like toxic relationships that have really conditioned me in the way that I show up. And so it shows me what's possible. It shows me how much I've healed. It shows me so much about myself that is so beautiful. And I'm just like so much more in love with like who I am right now. And that like makes me emotional, because I feel like for most of my life, like I just didn't like who I was. I tried to numb myself with alcohol. I tried to be somebody else. I tried to people please. And so to like actually be able to sit here and say that like I truly love the person that like I now get to show up as, and that's, you know, maybe I would have gotten there without being sober, but I think that was like a huge piece to my journey of me as I am today. And I know that even if I have a glass of wine here and there, it doesn't control me. It doesn't mean anything about who I am. It doesn't make me who I am. It doesn't define me. I'm like totally okay with or without it. And that's the energy that I'm bringing right now. That's the energy I'm embodying. And I'm just going to carry that with me. So, if this episode resonates with you, share it with a friend. Subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, just click those 5 stars. It is so helpful. Leave a review. And I urge you, make that your screensaver, write it down. Just remind yourself of that. I desire this. And again, this is from Catherine Zankina. This is not from me, but it's whatever the thing is, I desire it. It's interesting and I'm okay either way. Right? So I hope that that was supportive. I hope just sharing my journey of my last year with you is supportive. And I think just to know that you, whatever your relationship with alcohol is, it's your relationship with alcohol. It's your journey. It's your path. And I think if you feel called to sobriety, explore it, right? I think everything in moderation. And I also think it's toxic, but I also think that we're human. And I also think that red wine is grounding. And it's all the dualities and we're all the dualities. And so, yeah, that's my episode. That's my recap. And I will talk to you next week. Thank you so much for listening and for being in here. I love you.